Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, and welcome to another awesome week of Relationship Marketing 101 with Directions University here. This is Rhonda Del Baccio, your co-host and guest booker for the show. And things are just a little bit different today. And we are asking, Gina had a bit of a mishap this weekend. She fell on the ice and broke her ankle. And she is in some pain, and she is having an appointment with a surgeon today. It does need to have surgery. She broke the ankle in two places and falling on the ice because she's still up there in the cold. Brr. So I would love to ask for any and all good vibes, good thoughts, white light, healing energy, any kind of good vibrations, prayers, etc., that you are willing to give for Gina, who gives so very much to everybody. And so let's wrap her up in healing and love and light and all manner of good things for her to have a speedy recovery. So she will not be with us today, and we'll just continue to hold her in all those good thoughts. I am calling to you, as I most of the time do, from my little house in the woods out in the Ozarks of Missouri, and it is a very cold day here. It did just top freezing, for which I am very grateful, and I'm also ever so grateful that we are not getting the snow and ice. I'm from Chicago originally, and my father and my aunt still live up in Chicago, and the Great Lakes area is just getting hammered today. So if you're in somewhere that's snowy and icy, be safe, most definitely. So anyway, today is just a little bit different, and we are going to have somebody with us very shortly. And I'll tell you about him soon. But today, what I wanted to share with everybody and help you with is about how your various elements of your website build relationships. Now, we often talk about blogging, so I'm not going to be talking about things like blog posts that you have there or articles, but talk a little about some of the other elements that go into how a relationship can grow with your customer, even when they are not there face-to-face with you, or even when it's perhaps their first visit to your site. There's so many ways to engage them, and that's part of what we'll be talking about today, and we'll be moving into other directions as the Spirit leads us as well. Shortly, we'll have with us Robert Taltree of howtoliveonpurpose.com, and that's this wonderful hub site, as we call it, this excellent website that is launching very soon. It's been quite exciting over the past few days to see things grow. I don't know if you know much or have thought much about the way that a plant grows from a seed, but when the plant is a seed and it is underground, so many things happen to that little seed. It has to die to what it started off to be, and then it does all kinds of dividing and growing and situating itself in the surrounding soil and taking up the nutrients that it needs from its environment to be able to grow, and all kinds of things are happening. And as a kid, I can remember planting seeds, and you would just wait for days and not know quite what was going on. And then, all of a sudden, here would come this little tiny shoot, and it would poke its way through the topsoil. Well, that little shoot has already been through quite the journey simply to make it up there to the ground level and emerge for the very first time out into the world. So much happens. And when you think about your business, can be much the same way. As you start a business or you start putting a new website or hub site or whatever together, there is so much that goes on underground and behind the scenes, and there are times when people tend to be so close to their breakthrough and they go, oh, I'm not seeing a result. I'm not getting the results I want. You know, I didn't make $1 million overnight. And they will then give up too soon, just when they were about to have the breakthrough. So I hope that you do not do that. Be aware of that. I'm sorry, if you hear jingling, I was up in town and I have jingle bell earrings. I'm taking them off now. There we go. Forgot to take them off before the show. So anyway, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes and underground. With your business, it's the same way with your website. No matter what type of website you have, hopefully you have a blog the way that we recommend on Relationship Marketing 101. But you have all this stuff going on underground. And so just like that little plant that finally manages to poke its head up above the ground, there has been so much going into the infrastructure, the structure. It's just like when you build anything, there's always so much that you don't see, but if you don't have that in place, it will all fall apart. So that's the kind of thing that we're going to be working with today and helping you to understand. So one of the aspects I'll mention about your website is the colors that you use. Recently, somebody said to Gina and myself on a call, well, I should match the colors of my website to my ebook cover. And we're like, no, no, wait, not quite a great way to go about it. You're not worried about adding color to product for your website. But what you want to do is select the colors and the feeling that is going to match the type of relationship that you're building with your audience. Those kinds of things, the color and elements like that, can come from the research that you have done and can come from what you know about your ideal customer. So there we go. I opened up a chat window, so let me just take a second to say hello. And anyone that has a question or comment, you can pop that into the chat window. I have this thing, if I talk and type at the same time, the words are look as if they're maybe not in English, and the brain doesn't do those two things together very well. So I'm working on that, but I haven't quite mastered that one yet. So if you have a question or comment, toss it into the chat window that's there. Aha! We have somebody joining us. Yes, I see your hand up. 1 second, Robert. So, all right. I would like to welcome to our show Chief Robert Taltry, who is just an extraordinary, magical, life-changing person and part of and the founder of HowToLiveOnPurpose.com, along with his wife, Terry Lynn Taltry, and Gina Gaudio-Graves, and a whole bunch of ambassadors. So, Robert, welcome. Once again, I know you've been with us a few times. We're so excited to have you back.
Oh, I love this radio program. It reaches so many individuals way beyond the energy. It's just always so high here, and I always learn something each time that I have a tendency of either speaking to you or Gina or even some of the guests that you've had in the past. It's just awesome to that you've had an opportunity to build such a community. So I'm very honored to be called upon again.
Thank you. It's just so beautiful to have you here. And so there is this topic of the websites and building your relationship. And, of course, we'll be able to get into a few other things later with the challenge that you have. But I think that's a really important consideration. In the dominant American culture, people tend to just want this quick fix and feel like just throw something together and, you know, put it up there and expect something to happen, like throw the spaghetti against the wall and see what piece sticks, you know, that type of a theory.
And yeah, that's just not true. Really, you know, the world has a tendency of being working on immediate gratification, and that's not really how a natural flow of things.
Right. Before you came on, I was talking about how what happens with a seed when it gets planted into the ground, how much happens before it ever sees the sunshine.
That's true. It does have a tendency of first being, you know, to me, it's like anything that you have a tendency in doing in life, you have a tendency of taking, investing the time to be able to take a sort of foundation or to nurture it. And so the metaphor of a seed planting in the ground is like any endeavor that any human being has ever taken on. They have to take and plant that seed. And sometimes if they are too much in a hurry, they're constantly digging up that seed to see how it's growing. And it actually doesn't, it hinders it rather than allowing it to have the opportunity to set its roots. So, you know, I love that, you know, when you have a tendency of looking in that in respect to that and realizing that every seed also has a tendency of taking and germinating and expanding on its own accord. Even if you have two seeds from the same tree, it's not going to take and grow at the same amount of time. Each one will grow in its own time.
And there's so much about the environment that seed is in. And, of course, it takes up the nutrients from what's around it. Robert, we live in the southern part of Missouri. My mom and her husband live just down the hill from me. I live in a little house on their property, so we have our own space, but we do a lot together, and it's really interesting. This is December, and although we don't get a lot of snow here, we certainly get four seasons, and it does get cold. My mother is the gardener among us, and she has a small garden, and we have no topsoil out here unless you bring it in yourself. This is Stone County, and it's really may have been called that for a mayor's stone at one point, but there is, the stone is what grows around here. We joke that every time you turn around, the rocks are breeding, creating more stones. So there is not really good soil unless you bring it in. And why I'm mentioning this is in the actual garden, my mom planted some tomatoes and cucumbers, and we got a few things from that all through the summer, but not too much. And then somebody gave her a couple of small plants, just little ones, and she put them into the flower bed that's by the house. And that flower bed has soil that's twice as deep as what's out there in the garden. We are still eating tomatoes from that plant. Now, the plant has died, and we had to pull some of the tomatoes off when they were green. But these little cherry tomatoes, here it is, the middle of December, and we're still eating fresh tomatoes from that little plant, because up until the point when the frosts hit and that plant was still growing and still producing tomatoes, it had deep soil, nice rich soil, and it had plenty of sunshine because of the place that it is and where the sun comes up in the east and kisses it through most of the day before going behind the house. So when you think about your own business, I think that we're still eating the tomatoes. But when you think about your business, it's very much the same type of thing. When you plant yourself in really good, rich soil, you'll have a tendency to grow and to flourish and to thrive. But you cannot rush things. And this is not, you know, fast food here, right?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, when you talk about the aspects of the richness of the soil, that has a tendency of being also something that most people have a tendency of not realizing, too, that if you want to take and make things a little easier on yourself, of course look for the richest soil. But not always do human beings have that opportunity of always being able to find it's almost like you were looking all over that land for the best place to plant something and eventually realized it was right before your eyes. And sometimes that's initially the way it is with life, when you have a tendency of looking around to take and finding a good place to set some roots down or some foundation. But sometimes you do have to set it up on there. And I've seen trees and plants that have grown right on top of rocks and amazing places where you think that nothing could grow and there's something growing. So to me, it's a lot. There's another thing that people have a tendency of forgetting, that if your intent is there, if you have the compassion to be able to have something manifest, then it's going to manifest and it's going to grow. And so if people are trying to make a specific choice in their life and it's not finding the proper soil, then maybe the soil is going to be fine. And maybe, you know, just having the faith and that intent is very, very powerful. And especially because I was just speaking to somebody this morning. I was doing a consultation with a couple, and I told them, I said, you know, the most powerful medicine in the world is love. And if you have a tendency exuding that through everything that you do, including your crops or even your occupation, it's going to have a tendency of flourishing even much better.
Yeah, you're so right. And love is not just for what you may share with your family and friends. As you well know, because you and Terry Lynn definitely run your business through love. Hello, kitten. Here comes Trippy to say hello to you, Robert.
Awesome.
She always likes to come up when you or Terry are talking, and sometimes she'll rub the phone with her face. It's really cute.
Well, you know, through the lines there's vibration, and they understand that very easily. It doesn't mean, most people don't realize that when you have a tendency of extending yourself, it goes beyond your own physical being. And that's just one of those things. Animals are very intuitive in the aspects of things about human beings. I've seen where some animals will purposely go around and avoid people, and they'll say, you know, I take that to heart. I think about that there's something that individual has not resolved, and that animal is really picking up on it. It's a burden that they're carrying. It's something that is not conducive to their own well-being.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's definitely possible and a good thing to really exude love through your business, through your website, through the way that you select the colors and the feeling and everything that goes on with your website and with your business, and through the way that you write sales letters for your products. So love can come through in things like that as well as whatever audios and free gifts and things that you may do for people, and as well as the way that you interact with them.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, it should be reciprocated, too. I mean, if you have a tendency of having individuals mm-hmm. that have been taught to take, then that's not love. That's a whole other thing. And so initially, you know, it's not that you are owed, but but it is relative to a respect to life, because it makes a completion of the circle.
Yes. I don't know if you have ever heard of, you've probably heard of the form of energy work that's called Reiki. And the person, Usui, who is credited with bringing that particular form of energy work into the world in the modern era, at least, has a very interesting thing that he discovered, is that he had the power to heal people of various types of ailments and so forth. And if he found that if there was not some kind of an energy exchange, it didn't have to be currency, but some kind of energy exchange, and if that was not present, the person would become sick again, because to give without putting something, or to receive rather without putting something back, it breaks the cycle, and it would cause that illness to return to them.
Absolutely. It's a natural flow. Even aspects of the energy that's created between the sun and the earth is a continual exchange, and that happens between the moon and the earth and all the elements and the ocean and water. We have an exchange of energy every time we put our feet down into sand. There's an exchange of energy, and it's rebalancing. You know, people have a tendency of putting so much power and energy into the aspects of what they see and not what they feel. And that's really has a tendency of really throwing them off course many times in their life. And that's something that can go from your relationships to your business to every facet of your being is relative to that energy exchange.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of the elements of your website, howtoliveonpurpose.com, which has just blossomed in so many beautiful, exciting ways. over the past few days as it's to the point where the seedling is beginning to poke its little head through the soil at this moment. So,
I love that because it's very true. We have been taking and as you very well know, Terry and I, we travel all over the United States and all over the world on peace tours and doing training programs for teachers and also doing specific programs for corporations and like Hewlett-Packard, American Express. We've been contracted in the past to be flown out to their main office just to get their bent to a different type of a mindset, which has a tendency to be conducive to productivity. And they seem to feel that fluctuation and shift when we have a tendency of doing these programs for them. But I'm not sure because they have such a strong mindset of the aspects of what they can see and touch, do they realize that seeing and touching and feeling has a tendency of being part of the aspects of making that cycle, things working more proper, more attuned. And so when we have a tendency of talking about that we also like to take and relate to that to our business. You know, we have a tendency, Terry and I, we've for many years done and perpetuated these teachings that were gifted to us from our elders, our Native American elders, on a one-to-one basis or a 1 to 2,000 people, you know, a basis type of situation. And now we've come to the realization that we could even reach more by using today's technology through the websites that we've developed over the years. And, of course, the How to Live on Purpose is the website, which not only embraces the organic concepts of Native Americans that have been gifted to us, but also the aspects of other cultures that have wisdom that is now going to be part of that spoke of that wheel. And we're really excited about it because I find that every single individual that has taken and chosen to participate in this endeavor all have just awesome hearts. And that's one thing which I would never, ever want to take and put so much time and invest of myself into unless it was individuals that really knew how to take and be from their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so there are a lot of things that you're talking about here that, first of all, it's choosing who you're going to associate with in terms of the website. So there's that piece to go into. There's also the piece of how you're transforming your business literally from being a either one-on-one or one-to-a-live group where you had that live connection with people. And now you're switching things where, of course, you're still doing the live aspects, but you're switching things to include an online element where you have things that are happening and can touch people all over the world. What is
that transition?
Absolutely.
I kind of visualize it as, before I was like standing before a window but didn't realize that all I needed to have was a magnifying glass.
Mm.
And to be able to magnify the aspects to reach even more individuals because they'll be able to see and resonate in the aspects of these truths. And also in my mind it also leaves something more that I've just been contemplating is that every human being wants to leave a legacy where my children and my grandchildren who have not been very strongly, they've been so affected and influenced by the predominant culture that they don't always have a tendency of seeing the value of their own grassroots. And so now, as I write and as I speak and as I sing and as I do specific prayers for the healing of people and the earth, to me, by having these down, one day when they get to the particular point where they find that they want to know more about their lineage, they'll be able to reach back and say, that was my grandma and that was my grandpa. And they said those words, and now I can apply them to myself and my children.
You're carrying that heritage forward, even when the people in your own family at the moment are maybe not as receptive just because they've been kind of maybe, succumbed to the way that the dominant culture operates.
Absolutely. It's always been something that I've been well aware of, and it happens with every Native tribe across the United States that their children have stepped away from their traditions and their ceremonies and their languages, too. At one time, there was over 5,000 tribes that lived upon this land, this continent that we called Turtle Island, because we knew there was water all around all of this land. But initially, the today there's only 500 of those nations that still exist, and out of those 500 nations, only about 50 of them still know their language and their customs. All the other nations that once existed upon this land, we know of their name, we know a few things about them, but that's all we know. They ceased to exist. Because some of those particular tribes, of course, were not really as large as my particular tribe of the Chippewa or Ojibwe. They were sometimes just a few hundred native people, but they did have their unique symbols and designs and language and customs. But those things ceased to exist, and some of it because of wars between nations, whether it was Native American nation to a Native American nation or from the predominant culture, and some of it was because of diseases that were never upon this land. So there was a lot of things that came to pass that had a tendency of having those nations vanish upon this earth. So as a Native American, I find that it's very important to me that not only that we have a tendency of perpetuating the aspects of the power of the words, the language, and our stories and lessons, but also how the lessons are universal to all human beings. I believe that all cultures at one time had this organic relationship to all energy that exists. And somewhere along the line, it fell to the side, and then it ceased to be taught. So to me, when I speak about the lessons and the stories in which I teach them the way they were taught to me. When my elders had a tendency of speaking of the songs and stories, and we sat at their feet and listened to their wisdom, there was children that were from other nations. And as a child, I asked them about that, and they said that wisdom is not relative to a religion or a politician or your political beliefs or even the color of your skin. It's relative to the color of your spirit and your heart, which is universal to all human beings. So wisdom is timeless, but wisdom is definitely something that humanity needs to re-embrace.
Yes. It's really... interesting time that we live in currently, because on the one hand we have all of this technology and all the various new phones and computers and different ways to connect and so forth, and so there's this whole very dominant culture track of all these things that are going on, and yet there is a tremendous awakening in wisdom teachings from all over the world, and to a sense that people want to be connected, and it's not so much the internet is partly a way to connect, but that people want a deep connection, and that's why people are really starting to question what is my life purpose and why am I here and how can I connect with people, and there is a sense of that awakening that's coming forth now.
Absolutely. I think initially what has happened is that cultures have a tendency of following other cultures. The more stronger a culture is, the more that other cultures have a tendency of thinking that that's how the path they're supposed to take. And in reality, what's being put high on the aspects of visualization is that the more things in which you can acquire, the more toys that you can acquire, the more distractions that you acquire, that you will have a tendency of being happy. But people are finding a great emptiness, because that's not what it is. You know, your happiness is relative to the choice of your relationships, as of one person to another person, or even the aspects of how you have a tendency of relating to birds or deer or horses or dogs or cats. Those are part of your relationship. Mm-hmm. Those are things that are part of being human being, and that's what you're going to be able to take and truly resonate with when you stand before the great mystery or the creator.
Yes.
Because the creator is not going to be interested in the fancy sport car that you had or the biggest house that you had or how many diamonds that you had or how much gold that you had or silver that you had. Creator is going to want to say, what really enriched your spirit? You know, what really, tell me the story of how you made somebody laugh. Tell me the story of how you shared food with somebody. Tell me the story of who you cared for or reached out and helped out when they fell down. That's what the creator is going to ask. Most people don't think about that.
Right. You're definitely right. There is one thing. If somebody might be listening who thinks, well, no, maybe wisdom isn't universal. Maybe there is just one way that's right and another other ways that are not the right path. One thing I'll submit to your consideration is there is actually a story pattern that is common to every single culture. Now, there are many stories that have similar versions in different cultures throughout the world, symbolism that's similar and so forth. And you'll also find that in the various teaching stories from all over the world, there are certain typical characters that you meet, and those would be what Carl Jung called archetypes. There are certain universal characters that have a meaning, a father, a mother, and so forth. But there's also the story pattern that Joseph Campbell, the mythologist, called the hero's journey. And that particular pattern exists even in a small culture that has not had any kind of interaction with whatever the nearby dominant culture is. That story pattern is still there. And Joseph Campbell spent his life studying the traditions all over the world and found this definitely to be true. And I love that because it's really a way to say, see, we do have proof that we're all one. We're all a part of the same stuff. Those of us who knew it without that, that's beautiful. But for others who needed that kind of edification or that kind of understanding, it's there now for us. And what it really is humanity striving to be the best possible version, each man and woman and child striving to be the best possible version of themselves. And everybody is called to that particular hero's journey. It's whether you accept it or not. You decide to just cave in and not care about that is obviously everyone's free choice. But that story pattern is there and it's strong.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is, it's funny that he spent so many years being able to take and research that to be able to affirm it or confirm it. And that's the way that society is they have to prove something first before they want to believe in it. When our native elders would say, if you cut your hand and I cut my hand, you see that we bleed the same color, we are related. And that's all they said.
Exactly.
And to me, that was everything you just said in just that one moment. But also in aspects of what you were saying, how individuals have a tendency of looking for truth, and that's what it is that within our deeper, in our hearts and our spirit, every human being strives for truth. And when they see the similarities of something that's going on within one culture to another, then they come to the same conclusion, that's truth. And so initially when we talk about the aspects of the wisdom of humanity, that's what we're all really seeking. When somebody talks about the aspects of whether your belief is better than my belief, I always come to another particular story about, I said to a young man when he said, you know, I said, he said, do you believe in God? And I said, yes, I just don't call him that by the name that you call him. I use a different language, but I said, let me ask you something. I said, do you see that mountain? He said, yeah. I said, how many ways do you think there is to climb that mountain? He says, well, there's probably a difficult way. I said, absolutely. And he says, there's probably even an easier way, and there's probably something even in between. I said, so there's a lot of ways to go up in a mountain. I said, do you think that the Creator has a tendency of having a lot of ways to being reached too? I said, that's what I'm talking about. I said, we're not different. We're the same. We just use a different vehicle. I said, I'll climb the mountain the easy way. You may want to think that you have to climb it the hard way. That's up to you. That's your choice. I said, that's one thing that we all have is freedom of choice. But I said, but look at the aspects of everything around you, mirrors back to you, the aspects of what is right. So if an individual has a tendency wanting to speak his language to talk to the great mystery of the Creator, that's okay. I will do the same thing. We're still talking to the same Creator. It's the same truth.
Right. Right. The same truth. It doesn't matter which way we call that same truth. To me, it's that we're all under the same sky. We all have the same elements of earth and air and fire and water and so forth around us. And the interesting thing that I notice happening with people is that sometimes they have a concern or even a fear of letting their spirituality or their deeper essence of who they are, but however it is that you would want to call that, they're afraid of having that come out in their business, in their website, and different things like that.
Well, I think that's because a lot of times it's always been construed as if you show the aspects of that part of the humanistic characteristic, that it was always considered for some reason somebody put out the word that it was showing a point of weakness. Well, to me, it shows a point of strength, and it shows a point of also balance when an individual has great compassion in what they pursue, you know, what they believe in, what they stay, where they stand. You know, those particular things, I have more respect for an individual that has those than one that's very stoic all the time.
Right, right. And so what you're saying is to be able to let who you are as a person in everything that that means come through in your business, right?
Absolutely. That's where your power is. That's where your strength is. That's what being a human being is. You know, all those particular elements that are within you is energy, but initially all those particular elements are there for a reason. They're to be tapped upon and utilized to be able to get you to realize and to be awakened to the sensitivity of being alive, feeling the breeze cross your cheek when you ignored it in the past, feeling the sun and warm your spirit. I mean, those things are all parts of elements of energy in a communication which is never ending.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very, very true. And the interesting thing is, and some people may find this to be, woo-woo or out there or whatever, but perhaps you'll be able to experience the truth in it, that people will pick up on all kinds of signals from your website, even from the colors that are used, from what's included on any given page. They will pick up a lot about you and whether they want to do business with you from those kinds of elements. And all of that comes from how much of your own truth that you're letting to be seen and experienced and expressed on that site.
I find that in my experience, I'm 60 years young, that in the individuals that have crossed my path and those that have a tendency of saying that's woo-woo or whatever, you know, I find that they're one of the most huge amount of people that are shut down. You know, they have been hurt in such a way that they don't want to take and go through that door again. So what happens is that through someone who has either verbally or physically harmed them, they shut that part of themselves down because they don't want to have a tendency of dealing with that pain when they need to realize they need to just let that go because it's not who they truly are. Whatever has happened to a human being on their life's journey is a lot of things that happened to them was not their fault. And when they can come to that conclusion that they lived through it and that they'll carry those scars for the rest of their life, but they'll also be able to have the compassion for other individuals that have also lived that journey. And in doing so, that person will know that they can take and survive that moment of time too. And so, you know, I don't have all the answers of why humanity does what it does, but I do have a tendency of realizing that the spirit or soul of an individual is very strong. And when they come to the realization that they're here for a purpose, and that purpose is relative to following their passion, and their passion is relative to something that's not only supposed to be for their own well-being, but for the well-being of others, then they'll come to the realization that they were born to do something grander.
Mm-hmm. I think that on a fundamental level, people want to have that sense that they're not just some random clump of cells and particles and whatever that all got together to form them, that there is really something more to their life. That's a fundamental part of what it means to be human, really.
And that goes back to the aspects of why this particular website, How to Live on Purpose, and then came to an existence. It had to. It was time for it to manifest to something that somebody could visually see, as much as that it's not something that you can actually really touch. So that's a concept that's a little difficult for me to take and work with, since I have a tendency of living in both worlds, in my spirituality and also in the aspects of acknowledging that yes, I have to take and gather the plants to be able to feed and my physical being, but initially and to take care of the everything that I can to be respectful to all the elements. But initially, I was called, a gentleman did an international magazine did a write-up on me, and they were trying to give me a title. And they said, well, you're a former chief. I said, yes, and people do have a tendency regarding me as Chief Tall Tree, because when you have ran a consul for some years, you carry that title for the rest of your life. And he said, but you do also some herbs and such, so maybe you're a medicine man. And I said, well, you know, here's the deal. As a Native person, we don't like to usually take titles too strongly because it has a tendency of putting you into a smaller box when all human beings have a tendency of being multifaceted. So you can't really give a person kind of one title and expect them to hold within that margin. I said, because they're much, much bigger than that. So when we talk about the aspects of who I am, they finally came to the conclusion and wrote up in this national magazine that they said, Robert Talltree, a pathfinder between two worlds. And I said, that's really good. I like that. So a lot of times when people will talk, they say, what do you think and relate to yourself, who or as? I say, I kind of relate to myself as a pathfinder between two worlds, one of the past and one of the present and one of the future. So it, actually, it's the elements of three.
And I'm sure there are many ways we could say that you're a pathfinder between worlds. We don't have to number how many.
Absolutely. But like I said, the minds and the hearts of the individuals that are coming to the aspects of this hub, each of them have a tendency of having their particular professions. A lot of doctors, which is really awesome to see these doctors come and step up to the plate, because they're starting to recognize the power of the spirit and the mind. And also they're coming to recognize that there's an abundance of healing that can be taken and implemented, not through surgery or through medicines, but actually through the aspects of truly training the mind to take and go in a particular direction, which is more of a natural way. So I'm really happy that they're on board and that they have that kind of a mindset too, because it shows to me that the world is now starting to awaken more to the aspects of truly where your power is and where you belong.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. In that, it's also an interesting thing. You can really see that there are changes happening in the world, and many different traditions and paths talk about this in different ways. You know, there are some people who feel like everything's coming to a screaming halt in the end of 2012, and there are a lot of all kinds of things in between. But an interesting thing has occurred even in terms of what people are searching for online. And again, I find this interesting to point out that these things happen because it has a rational mind to be able to have a little bit of an understanding of what goes on, so that your mind can then say to your emotions, oh, yeah, that's okay, because this is what's happening. So even 2 years ago, if you were doing market research and keyword research and you were looking for anything related to life purpose, you would find that it was just really not the type of thing that people were searching for. And now, interestingly enough, as things do change, and we always tell people, you know, don't assume that just because something was a particular way 6 months ago that it's going to be that way forever. Now it's very much changed, and now people are actually searching online quite a lot for things related to life purpose and related to what is beyond what's at the end of your nose. And I think that's just a really interesting testament to the fact that there is an awakening that's happening. There are changes in the way that people on a massive level are experiencing what it means to be human.
Absolutely. Well, there's two things that people don't have a tendency to take in consideration, and that you have truly no power to change it. And one is actually is time. You don't have power over time, and you don't have power over change. And those two things are continuous. Those are continuous. And so once you realize that you don't have power over time and change, but you do have the aspects of taking and being in the moment, this is an important an awakening. It's the first step of individuals coming to the realization that, you know, where am I spending my time? Because that's why I like to use that terminology, because it has a tendency of being something that hits to the core of every culture, is the aspects when you use that term, spending. And I said that's initially what I take and strongly look at. Am I spending my time 4 hours in front of a television listening to something that has no value? Or am I spending 4 hours of time talking to my children or telling a story or doing something that's conducive to my spirit? you know, making me, I'm doing some beadwork or painting or carving or doing something that's really feeding my spirit. And that's, to me, very therapeutic. If individuals in society took it upon themselves to truly start nurturing that part, whether it's taking and playing a guitar, painting or carving or singing or dancing, if they would realize that they would be much more calmer, they'd be much more stronger, especially when in the aspects of what they've chosen to embrace to support themselves in life. Because a lot of there's over 80% of the people in this world that are unhappy. And there's a reason for that, because they made some really bad choices is one of the reasons. The other reason is that they don't realize that they have the power to take and make a new choice.
Yes, people have a tendency to feel as if the circumstances need to dictate how they interact in the world. Well, look at my life, look at this mess, blah, 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 and go on about the things that they don't appreciate and fail to realize the changes come are not so much because you have a change of job or a change of circumstance, but because you may truly have a change of heart, a change of perception, a decision to perceive things in a very different way.
Absolutely. And the thing is that people do not totally look within themselves the aspects of truly all the gifts that they have at hand, all the things in which that they, you know, if they would, I wake up in the morning and I say, oh, thank you, Creator, for giving me another day. Allow me to have my heart and my mind open so that I can understand what needs to be said and what needs to be done today. And not always do I have a tendency, does my day always go the way in which I think it should have, but initially it usually comes out much better. You know, I love that there was an old saying that I had heard, you know, I once felt bad because I had no shoes, and then I met a man that had no legs. And, you know, to me that, you know, it made you think, well, at least I had my feet, and I could walk, and I could step, and I could run, you know. And to me, that's what we need to do is continue to remind ourselves of all the blessings and all the gifts that we have with our friends and our families, and even the aspects of having a good warm coat or very good warm shoes, you know, and realizing that we truly have an abundance of blessings that we forget to count.
Yep. It's that whatever you're focusing on is what tends to expand in your awareness. One of my good friends and colleagues, I have such an appreciation and feel very blessed with awesome people in my life, such as yourself and Terry and Gina. And this person is Dr. Rick Schaefer, and he has written a book that's called Extreme Thought Makeover. And he has an activity that I just love. He gives people a 37-day program of various, very simple things to do that help you to feel appreciation and joy and just live a good life. One of his activities he calls the avalanche of appreciation, or rampage of appreciation, excuse me. So what he talks about is beginning, as you said, people have forgotten to count as far as the blessings. They certainly remember how to count the things that they don't like typically, but not so much the blessings. So in this, he just has you start enumerating the things that you feel appreciation for, whatever it might happen to be. And pretty soon you get started, and pretty soon you really do go on that rampage, not a rampage of anger, but a rampage of appreciation, a rampage of gratitude for all the things that are happening. And it's amazing how just that simple shift in what you're focusing on can make such a huge difference in the way that you feel about your day, in the way that things happen, and in your openness and receptivity to be able to find the lesson in whatever's happening.
Absolutely, and that's what most individuals don't realize, that, you know, there is definitely a higher power that's intervening in the aspects of our everyday life. And if we would just take and look at the aspects of that, you know, to that this is to going is purposely leading you to another outcome of a particular situation, you know, having that intuitiveness in the aspects of knowing when to stop doing something, when to stop not to say something, and when to say something is really important as human beings for us to take and you know, really explore.
Mm-hmm. Very definitely. So, in your sharing of your teachings and the people that you encounter. I know it's very important, especially for people who are going to be a part of the hub, as we're talking about, howtoliveonpurpose.com. You have various ambassadors who are contributing time and talent and articles and various things that are happening. As you were going about attracting the right type of person, what was in your mind and in your awareness that you were wanting to make sure that people had?
Well, I think that, you know, it took a little bit of a time because initially people need, they need a common ground. They need a particular, as you had mentioned, there's key words that people use on an everyday basis, but there's also specific things which they don't realize that they have a tendency of relating to, whether they verbalize it or not. It's always in their mind, whether it's conscious or subconscious. But initially, so we talked about how can we get individuals to be able to maneuver, give them kind of a bit of a roadmap to be able to maneuver through howtoliveonpurpose.com. And we came up to the conclusion that you got to go back organically to mind, body, and spirit and emotions. Those particular things are the basics of every human being, and that's going to allow them to be able to instinctively follow the path to the individual experts that are necessary to give them the answers that they're looking for, the truth that they're looking for. So that was basically what it was all about, is just relative to the, let's just do something that creates common sense, because I think that's a lot. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world that makes no sense at all. But again, I don't think it's because a lot of things were not truly thought out. You know, as Gina Gaudio Graves always has a tendency of taking in first seeing where you want to go before you begin your journey. And she brings up a lot of different stories about that. And that's basically with how this hub or this website came into being, that we needed to see what is the initial outcome? Where do we want these individuals to come? How can we get them there and get them to realize that we're here to nurture them? And granted, aspects, yes, there's programs there that are for free, and yes, there's programs there that are going to take and be sold to them. But once they come to the aspects of attaining those particular programs for those individual experts, they're going to realize that the money that they put out for those particular programs is nowhere near the time and the care and the love that was in the creation of them to allow them to have a grounding, a clarity, and a personal healing of their heart, their mind, body, and spirit. This is awesome. I mean, to me, it's way beyond my own personal expectations. I thank the Creator for that. I didn't have a lot to do with that. I was just part of the catalyst.
Well, yeah, I think everyone does their part, and it's a beautiful thing. Of course, we're always talking about the various gifts and talents that each person has and how important it is to work from your strength. My mother's husband, his name is Bruce, and he can take apart and put together anything. When he puts it together, he'll figure out exactly what piece goes where, even if it's not something that he has seen. Now, I am tool challenged, and I don't say this in any denigrating way about myself. It's just that the tools that I work with more are stories and words and sometimes ingredients for baking and cooking and so forth, but I just don't have it when it comes to a hammer or things like that. And I feel so grateful to have someone around me who gets that stuff, because for him, he can look at something and go, oh, it's this technical thing that needs to be changed or whatever, and he will know that naturally because it is his particular strength and purpose and gift to do that. And he has a tendency to have felt that he wasn't smart because he has a reading disability. And I always tell him that he is such a genius because, I'm not saying that just to stroke him, but it is absolutely true. He is definitely a genius when it comes to anything regarding tools, household repairs, fixing the dryer that broke and being able to figure out what part went astray and get the replacement and put it in and not have spare parts lying on the floor. For me, if I took it apart, I wouldn't know what to do next at all.
Absolutely. And that's, again, one of our native teachings is that each individual is part of the great mystery or the great puzzle of You know, if we all had the same strengths and the same weaknesses, we wouldn't need each other. But in aspects of the teachings,
right.
When we look at that, you know, when we had many years ago, we had specific families that had these particular traits that resonated within those families. For instance, there was always the families in the village that were the greatest hunters. Well, one is that they had the greatest hunters to begin with, and they perpetuated generation upon generation, but it was just something that was seen to be in their DNA. And the other ones that were have a tendency of being the strategists, and the other ones that had to be the more artisans, and the other ones that had a tendency of understanding visions and dreams. That's what my family is known for. And initially, there was a particular trait that had a tendency of perpetuating naturally through those families, and we would send our children to every one of those lodges or homes and to those families so that they could have a tendency of at least getting a taste of what it was from that particular wisdom or that particular type of natural trait. And they all fit as a part of the unification of that particular community, each of those particular families. And once in a while, a child would have a tendency of leaning more toward the aspects of really having a great passion and love for maybe storytelling or maybe helping prepare the food or hunting or whatever need would be, then the parents would encourage them to go that way. You know, and that's not the way society works today. You know, everybody wants to tell you what they think that you should be doing when you really need to look within yourself and find out what you're supposed to be doing. And again, that makes that circle again back to why this particular hub has come back to an existence, is because it's there to create that mirror so that individuals can look into that mirror and say, oh, that's who I am. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's where I'm supposed to be going. I said, that's all we're going to be doing is showing up with all these experts with all these various mirrors of different spectrums and colors so individuals can see what they resonate best in.
Yes. I think that's just such a beautiful way to do it. In dominant culture, you know, we talk about figuring out what you want to go to school and become when you're an adult, like to have an education in that sense of the word. And even then, it's often those decisions are not made based on a person's nature and their natural gifts, but by what there's money in or what they think is going to be something that they can do, or just because they knew a great school teacher, now they want to be a school teacher, but they don't really know what that is, and then they go to school for it and may find that that's really not what they need to be doing. So when you're able to have a taste of what your true nature is as a human being and where your talents are, that can make so many other decisions in life quite a bit easier.
Absolutely. I had an opportunity, Terry and I, to do a keynote at a University of West Virginia, and there was a couple of their instructors there. And after I had done this program, two of them actually came up to me, and they were husband and wife, and they said they were resigning and realized that even though that they both had very successful careers there at the university, that they weren't happy, and they realized that what they would best be happy was to get themselves back to nature. So they bought off KOA campground and totally resigned from the positions, used the funds in their 401ks and bought this campground. And he piddles around there taking and fixing things up and renting these things, meeting people from all over the world that come to their campground. And they're like, their kids are in nature around woods, and they got dogs and horses. And he said, they are the happiest they can be now. And he says, where before they were getting up every day, you know, before the sun rose, got in, set up the classrooms, and taught whatever they had been trained in, and realized that both of them had taken and pursued that because that's what made their parents happy, not what made them happy. You know, yeah, it was lucrative in design, but initially it did allow them to be able to make that huge transition within their life to what their passion, where their heart was being more grounded as being a human being and being more in control of what they truly loved. So, you know, I see that happening all the time now. People are starting to make huge shifts.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's just how it's a wonderful thing when life shows you. And I know that Terry, we need to find her a bumper sticker that says it's all done with mirrors because it's so true. Everything is a mirror for you. And for every one of us, And that makes it interesting because without that mirror, we're not really able to see what's happening. And so those experiences come. And it's a good thing to be bold enough to say, ah, something in life has shown this to me and I need to follow it.
Well, like I said, the only thing I said to that couple, I said, that's great that you've made a choice, but I doubt if they're going to, the universities are going to start inviting me back if they have their faculty resigning every time I get there.
Yeah. It reminds me of when I taught a course in holistic health and wellness, which I taught for several years at a state college in Metropolitan College there in Denver, Colorado. And it got to be where so many changes happened because everything I did was about be who you are and let the true nature of you and all of your gifts come through. And so people would make changes, significant changes. And one time a person said to me, I happened to see her 6 months or so after she had my class. And I asked her how she was doing, and she said, well, after your class, I dropped out of program at school and went into something completely different. And it was because she realized that's where she needed to be. And I joked with her, and I said, oh, just don't tell the administration that I'm fine and people leaving the school. Well, it was kind of a funny thing.
Absolutely. You know, that's what happens is that what kind of this is very disheartening, and I'm sure you've had that also in some of the teachings and trainings that you've done, is when you have a tendency of seeing that you've reignited that spark in them and that they're really start making the movement in the right direction, and then they fall back into their old habit of where they were before. And then you see that dimming in their eyes again starting to happen, and you're thinking, okay, it took you years to get where you're at. What makes you think it's going to take 5 minutes to get you out of where you're at?
Yeah. And then the beautiful thing about what you have available is how much people can be supported, because this is the thing I think happens to people is they hear like a presentation that you do, and now aside from the keynotes and stuff before, they wouldn't have been able to continue to tap into your wisdom and your teachings. And now because of the ways that you're restructuring what you do and how you work, that is much more becoming available for people. And so they'll be able to have that kind of support through the products and services and through the experts and through everything else that's happening at howtoliveonpurpose.com.
Absolutely, and that's basically why it came to being. I've got numerous programs in which Terry and I do. We have individuals who have subscribed into a couple of programs. Some of the programs, of course, we give out freely, and then we have other programs that have a tendency where people have actually taken and bought a subscription into it, to where they have we discuss specific topics and issues, and what it does is it keeps them on course. It's like I'm pushing the wagon, and they're just learning to put their leg out to push it a little bit, and then it starts to slow down, and then I'm able to be there again and push it again, and they're still able until their legs get strong enough to where they can push that wagon themselves. So to me, it's exactly what we're here to do. I'm able to guide these individuals and nurture them very loving and kindly, like Terry and I, to give them the clarity to stay on course, and eventually I know that they'll be able to take and set their sails on their own because they'll have all the knowledge necessary to do that. And so people do come into my life and they come out of my life too. And I know that's what was to happen. I was one of their stepping stones, which was I would gladly be for them.
Mm-hmm. I love there is a teaching that I have seen that comes around. People send it to you occasionally through the internet or whatever about how for some people they're in your life for just a moment because there was a reason for them to be there. Some are there to be there for just a season, for a short amount of time. And then some people you stay with forever. They don't ever part from you, and they stay a part of your life. And all of those are good and okay and part of life and part of the way things are supposed to be.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is, what people don't realize is that when we have a tendency of having our family and our children, that's a very close-knit circle, and you're nurturing those children, and hopefully you're taking and inspiring them and encouraging them to follow the natural path that feels right with them, that resonates deep within their heart and spirit. But then after they leave the nest, then you have a tendency of extending yourself out to a new family, and it's an adult community or family that you have a tendency of starting to work with and caring about. And that's just a human instinct. You know, we are people. We are herd animals is basically what we are. But we, in this aspect of our life, we do have the choice of which individuals that we wish to take or be with, or which herds in which we need to be part of. And when doing so, it has a tendency of helping support us. Because if you're around an individual or a herd that has a tendency of not supporting you in your mind, body, and spirit, then you're in the wrong herd. You need to take and break away and seek out the right place where you truly belong, where you truly get that nurturing and caring and knowledge that you deserve. And that's basically what people forget. They continually punish themselves many times for things which they may have done on their own, or they may not have had control over. Those are the two things that hold every human being back to truly finding their well-being, finding their own self-healing, and also finding the aspects of who they truly are and where they belong. So it's important that individuals, especially those that have taken an opportunity to listen in on this call, because there's not an accident why they're here. They've been searching within their heart and their spirit for answers, and maybe you and I have just given them some clarity to be able to make some choices within their lives that are very important to them and to their longevity. Because if your mind, body, and spirit are not in vibration to each other, then your life cycle is definitely going to be shorter.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, because the logical mind tends to want proof for the things that we know naturally and innately if we'll only let ourselves do it. But there actually has been a recent scientific study about life purpose, and it basically says that when people have a purpose, it helps them to be sick less often. It helps them feel more vitality and more health. And, of course, on a spiritual level, on a heart level, on a soul level, on an emotional level, human beings know this and yet have let oftentimes the society, the dominant culture and things get in the way of that deep knowing. And so here we have a study so people can now see, yes, here is the mirror to show you that what that deep part of you knows that maybe is afraid to even acknowledge is really true, that having a purpose is not just some pipe dream that's off, way out there somewhere and that you shouldn't want that or whatever. That's really something that's fundamentally a part of what it is to be human and what it is to be you.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that that's where your inner strength comes from. It's come up again and again in this conversation where it always has to be proven, and it always has to be somebody with a particular type of a degree that says it's true, and another one with a degree says it's true, and then initially the scientists will then say, okay, it's true. Initially, if they look into their heart, they've known that way before then. If you look at even hospice, where they're now bringing a lot of animals into the hospice, and they're finding that these people are healthier and they're living longer because they have a purpose. They're taking care of something that's beautiful and innocent and unconditional in love, whether it's a little cat or dog. You know, that's why the elderly have a tendency of taking and having that pulling toward that, especially if they have a tendency of being primarily alone. They'll have a dog or a cat because that gives them more purpose.
Mm-hmm. There are a married couple of friends of mine, and they both have significant health issues all the time. And they have dogs, and I don't know what they would do without those dogs, because they're not able to get out of the house very much at the moment because of their physical challenges. And so there's this sense of isolation, and I think it would really get to them in a very bad way if not for the dogs, because the dogs make them laugh. They love the dogs. The dogs are funny. They dote on those dogs and share stories. I love to hear about their dogs and the various antics and the cute thing that this one and that one did. And it really helps them to feel alive. And just like you're saying with the hospice patients and with the elderly people, you know, having
something to care for, gives you reason to get up out of the bed. And if you're isolated from people, at least then you can have that connection with a beautiful creature.
Absolutely. And that's one thing which I think that especially dogs and cats and parrots and you know, these particular animals, they truly continue to get you aware of unconditional love. And I've seen it time and time again, even where an animal has been abused, and it still comes back lovingly. And it, to me, it's like, come on, people, wake up. Don't you realize that you have that potential? And that's what you need to have within your life, is someone that gives you unconditional love, that has a sense of respecting you and knowing your weaknesses and strengths, but always taking and shoring up those strengths. I mean, that's basically what everyone longs for in their lives. But then they're reminded by that when they have a tendency of having these wonderful creatures within their homes or within their lives too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then it is just anything about humans is all these different things that we can do that are so full. It's what makes a person feel a sense of purpose. It's always about reaching out to something beyond yourself, whether that means taking care of a cat or a dog or whatever, or whether that means creating programs and services and a business that really solves people's problems in a big way and so forth.
Well, like I said, initially the only way people can have a healing within themselves, whether it's mind, body, or spirit, is come to the realization that they don't have the clarity. And if they can take and find someone that has taken and walked that gauntlet, then they can take and follow that same path. They don't have to take and try to figure it out on their own, because that's not how it's done. You know, I don't know everything, and you don't know anything, but we do know enough to be able to realize what's right. And if it resonates, something resonates right within your heart, then I strongly suggest that they should explore it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny, all the ways that show up, if you just will trust that intuition. In the middle of the night, I was working with Terry. we spent most of the night together, all through most of it. So, working on sales letters. And why I say that, and thank you, I'm not saying that to get kudos or whatever, but I'm saying that because one of the things that came up, I was talking to her about a product, and I was working on the letter for it, and she was saying, well, you were going to do. An upsell to an audio version, and I went to try to write that, and I just wrote back to Terry, and I said, you know, I kept wanting to put that into the product and, you know, put the price at a particular investment for people and add that all together, because it just doesn't seem right to separate it out. And she agreed, and I said that was her intuition as well. So I said, well, so then let's not separate it. There's no reason we have to break that apart. It goes together so well. It's like, you know, in your peanut butter without the jelly, or you have it all together. So it'll be better, and it'll serve the person who's receiving it, and that's the important thing. It's not about what price you're going to put something at and all that, as much as it is what really serves the person who is going to give wallet share, open their wallet, share its contents, because you truly have a solution that's going to help them with a big problem. And following that intuition is just an important thing to know, to trust that and to check in. And, you know, she had said, oh, I want to keep it, but I've done it. But it was clear that was the right decision for what the customer needed, and that was truly going to serve them much better than making a separation in those items.
Absolutely, and like I said, there, the thing is, when you're in the midst of giving birth to the these things that we've been carrying within our hearts and our minds, you know, these lessons and these teachings, we you know, it's hard for us to take it and put a tag on it to begin with. But the other thing that's difficult is also since you're coming from one direction in the story, it's hard to see it from the outside of the story. You know, once I've read a story, I can explain to you what I see in the story and what the key points are. But if as the one that has a tendency of carrying that story within myself, it's difficult for me to take and see it. I see the beginning, the middle, and the outcome. But initially, somebody that has read it says, they say, I see this and this and this. And I would go, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And so having more individuals within our life that have a tendency of having that clarity and that intuitiveness really is a blessing to us. I was thinking about that, and also realizing that when people are buying these particular programs, that's just an energy exchange. You know, at one time, if you were at the village, you might bring me a horse for some of the crop in which I gave to you, you know, of my planting of my
right.
corn or my squash, you know, and that was the exchange. It was good. We both felt good. I needed a horse to be able to make the plow, you know, rather than to take and dig the land with a stick. So now I can take and make
right.
more to do more trade, you know, and that's basically what it is. Money is just is an energy of exchange. You know, I tell Terry, I said, it's interesting that you can take a $1 bill and it's got the same amount of ink and material to it as a $1,000 bill or a $10,000 bill. Same ink, same material. The only thing that makes it different is the zeros on it and that society says it's valued to this much in exchange. But so I said, you know, that's kind of interesting because then again, it's just a relative to what society says is of great value. If they said acorns were the greatest value and we needed to start carrying those in our pockets to exchange, then people would do that. And so, you know,
as an exchange, I would be one of the wealthiest people around with all the stones that are around. I love that kind of energy exchange, and that's really all that money is, but it's been such a beautiful thing that so often in my life recently, it's been fun to be able to exchange value with people and not have to be concerned about what a price tag is on it, because there is a clear exchange. Just like you said, you needed the horse, the other guy needed the squash or whatever, and it was a good trade and everything worked. I love operating that way. And to me, that's just the beautiful, beautiful way to go.
Absolutely. But, you know, we have to be realistic because we are in a predominant
right.
culture with a hesitancy of having a specific type of exchange, and you have to pay taxes, I have to pay taxes, I need to take and go to the grocery store because I don't want to have to take the time to be able to create plants or hunt on the land,
right.
you know, so I would have to go way beyond this area. But initially, so for the initial comforts in which I wish to have within my environment, you know, I need to take and utilize a specific energy exchange, which is the dominant exchange, which is currency. So that's just a way of life, and it's some people say it's a compromise. Yeah, it probably is, you know, because I don't like having to cut down trees to be able to make wood, to be able to heat my lodge. I'll just take and turn the thermostat up and work
exactly.
from that particular way. But initially, like I said, it's just a matter about energy. It's not really relevant to the aspects of saying that I'm hoarding or I'm taking it. It's relative to looking forward to comforting myself and allowing me to be able to do what I do best. I do best just like as you do best as storytelling, and then intertwining or interweaving into that aspect of the story of a lesson that it will eventually emerge. And that's what you do, and that's what we do. And that's
right.
where our passion is.
Absolutely. And here's just a really simple analogy to demonstrate what we've just been talking about. My mother's husband has been clamoring for lasagna for weeks. I don't know what his thing is. He just has wanted lasagna, which is fine. We all have a taste for something sometimes. He wanted her to make it from scratch. I decided a different solution was going to be just as delicious and much easier on everybody. And so I got a packaged lasagna that I know is made from very high-quality, wholesome ingredients. And although I hadn't tasted the lasagna from this particular company, I knew that it would be good because other things I've had from there have been good. And it was so worth it for me to exchange that money for the completed lasagna that I could put into the oven and prepare and that we could all enjoy, rather than me having to spend 4 hours boiling noodles and layering this and that and the other thing and getting all the separate ingredients and taking half of a day to put this thing together so that we could then devour it in half an hour or so. And it was so worth it to exchange that. And I was happy with it. And it's really the thing for anybody that has a product. You need never feel ashamed or feel badly or feel that it's dirty or whatever to receive money for what you do, because you have a solution. You have something that somebody wants. It doesn't matter if that solution is, you know, the lasagna in this particular case. The solution is a particular program that will help somebody manage their time or a set goal program that will help them to reach the performance of chocolate or a CD or a DVD or whatever it is. It's the same principle, that somebody would be absolutely delighted because you have what they're looking for. They have no problem sharing a little of their wallet, sharing some energy with you. And as you were saying, energy is nothing more. Money is nothing more than an energy exchange.
Absolutely. And that's where people need, when they come to that particular conclusion, then that's where their abundance is really going to come to pass. Terry often says, you know, nature continually shows us that abundance is all around us. Cut a tomato open and you see, what, a thousand seeds. You know, look into the every human being, and that is the same. Not only the knowledge and the wisdom, but the aspects of how we have a tendency of bringing our children into this world. You know, that is because of a seed that came within two human beings that came to make something even greater than what they could even conceive in their minds. So, that, you know, abundance is continually all around us. I've got trees continually throwing themselves up through the land that I have around my home. And I keep saying, okay, I'm going to have to dig you up and move you because it's really not going to work sitting in the middle of my driveway. So let's get them, you know. So, but initially, and of course, nature works on its own accord, as you have very well see when it starts to take over highways and bridges, and nature is nature. And then, we need to always respect that it's that we will never have control over nature or the elements. We need to just respect that that is part of coexisting. Man, you've got to get out of that aspect of his ego and his mind that we will have control over specific things. We will have the ability of having the courtesy of working with it. That's about it. Do not get into the mind that we have a tendency of having. And that's the same as money. Money is, people say money is power. I said money is just energy. You know, it's not power at all. It's just, you know, you can use it for good things or bad things, just like thoughts. You know, you can do good thoughts or bad thoughts. What do you want to take invest in? It's all up to you. And I said, but definitely money has a tendency of giving you comfort, and money has a tendency of giving you comfort and comfort to the individuals that you care about, well, and love, whether you have a tendency. Like, I go out, I love taking it and buying somebody a dinner when I'm with them because I'm sharing a moment, because what they've given me is nowhere near what I've given to them just in feeding them. So to me, there's that circle again, that aspects of, or sometimes I'll give them a gift, and it won't be a holiday or a birthday. I'll give them a gift because I saw it in my mind that I needed to have that with me. And if you have a tendency of doing that and carrying specific things in your pocket or your purse, realizing that that's going to be needed for something. You may not have the answer right now, but it'll come to pass. And that's the reason why children do that all the time. They'll have specific things carrying in their pockets because they that instinct that when somebody's going to meet somebody. And one of my granddaughters gave me this little frog she'd been carrying in her pocket. And it was just a cute little frog. And she said, Bunka, that's what she called me. She goes, I got this for you. I said, oh, that's awesome. And so now I have this little frog that every once in a while I set him on my dresser, I set him on my pillow on my bed, so I can see him remind me of how much that little spirit loves me and that she felt I needed that. And
right.
Maybe it's what I can remind, to remind me that she loves me, because every time I see it, I do. So again, things
right.
are symbolic. Things have a tendency of being relative to something much bigger. But if it's something that has a tendency of being conducive to a healing of your mind, body, and your spirit, then something that's memorable and something that's going to help you on your journey and get you to where you need to be in your life. Because everyone is born for a purpose. The Creator makes no accidents, you know, and everyone is unique in themselves, and everyone is an original, and so celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and little things. Somebody gave me a magnet that's the head of an eagle, and I love that, and I think of the person every time I have it on my refrigerator in the eastern location, and it's the perfect place for it, and I think of that person and the thoughtfulness to share something like that, and it's nothing like the real eagle, of course, but it's such a nice memory to think of the soaring of the eagle and that freedom, that openness. It's just amazing.
And that's what people come, if they would learn that earlier in life, that what you surround yourself is with your medicine. if you one of these days mm-hmm. you'll have an opportunity to come and stay at my home, we have a guest room here, that you would see numerous organic things hanging on the walls, from drums to lances to things. Every one of those things was either given to me as a gift from somebody who's crossed my path, or something that I created because I needed to take and think about a lesson that was relative to that object. So it's symbolic. And so as our native ancient ones, our native elders would say, what you come to the realizations is everything that you'll be able to see within your circle reminds you of that most powerful medicine of all, and that's love. And you can see that when you come to my home, you'll see all these things from baskets to bags that are hanging everywhere that are relative to a story that shows that compassion and love and that exchange that has been done. And it also shows all the blessings that I have because of that.
Mm-hmm. That's really great. And so what you're saying is that just that love is that highest vibration, that highest energy of all, and that having those things around isn't to hoard them or to try to capture what that is, but to be a reminder and to constantly put yourself in the space of realizing and appreciating everything that happened around that person, that situation, that lesson that you were able to receive and that you were open enough to take and understand and put into your life.
Absolutely. And we relate to it as like reeds to a basket. And as you have a tendency of giving a new reed, you're able to take and then make your basket even stronger. And when you make a good-sized basket, it can hold a lot of love.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting to me that there are so many people who want to think that they can do everything alone. Like people think because they're a solopreneur, that means that they really run their business alone. We don't do anything alone unless you don't use any technology and you just build your own home and grow all of your own food and make all of the things that create your clothing and so forth. And it gets right down to the fact that every human being starts because two people have come together. We don't spontaneously generate a child.
The only self-made man is one that was done by the Creator.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, this
and
has
so
been
in
awesome.
Realizing all of this that we've been talking about in just such a fabulous conversation, I love this. Has been so fun to have a chance to share in this very intimate but yet very public conversation with you. It's such a blessing to me, and I honor and thank you for sharing this with myself as well as with our listeners. All of these teachings, and this just shows you all of the ways in which you receive from other people, give to other people, and that everybody's life is woven into every other life.
Absolutely.
Now, tomorrow something significant is happening, and I just looked at my watch and I'm amazed how fast the time goes. Tomorrow something very significant is happening on howtoliveonpurpose.com. I'd love to have you share a little about that, and I know we can't send people there quite yet, but you will be able to see it, and I will make sure to put a post on the Blog Talk Radio site about that. So tell us about that challenge.
Well, absolutely. We are actually, to promote the aspects of How to Live on Purpose, we've created a challenge which individuals are going to be able to partake in. We spent numerous weeks and hours and months in designing a particular scroll that we are going to be asking individuals to take and download and print up and give out to those heroes, those individuals that you see that are in your community and that have really changed and made a difference, not in your life, but most likely in your life and so many others. And just to hand them this wonderful scroll, which is, like I said, it's got so many symbols and designs in it. When some people will get it and some people won't, but what the words are is, it says, "I am a gift to the world. On the day I was born, the whole universe celebrated, and I am loved." And so initially, we want individuals to receive these scrolls from individuals that wish to carry them with their hearts. And it doesn't cost anything. And there's going to be actually seven parts of the challenge, which will give the individuals instructions of the challenges that these individuals will then have a tendency of needing to get these goals to other individuals, hopefully anonymously. Now, that's the part of the challenge, which is kind of the fun part. And so we're kind of excited about, again, like I said, it's a challenge of all challenges, one that really we hope that will reach a million people within a year's time or less. But I think it's going to go well. And like I said, I'm very excited about it. And it's something that we feel is long overdue for humanity to start doing, is being able to acknowledge another human being. And when you do it anonymously, then it's a good way of being on the safe side of that, of being able to take and give that out and allow someone to be able to receive that with their hearts too.
Well, excellent. So that will be, you'll see all the details on howtoliveonpurpose.com. And Robert, thank you so much. What a blessing and an honor it is to have you on our show. And I thank you very, very much. And for all of our listeners, thank you for sharing your time to be able to receive these very powerful teachings. And I know that Robert and I both hope that you will really, really take and listen deeply to this and make this a part of your life. And we thank you very much from Relationship Marketing 101. And come back and join us next week when we'll have another fabulous show. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.